Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Erev and Daf Ches. We're on Ches Amar Aleph, in the middle of the first wide line, which is actually 13 lines from the top. We'll move discussing the halacha of a mavi, which is ending at a rechava. So the mavi is beginning at Rosh Hasharabim, extending up until an area called the rechava, which is an enclosed area. Now this rechava actually is also open to Rosh Hasharabim on the other side. The Gemara tells us this mavi is regarded like a mavi sasam, like an enclosed mavi. We don't consider this mavi like an alleyway which is stretching from one Rosh Hasharabim to the other Rosh Hasharabim, because although it's connected to a rechava, which in itself is open to Rosh Hasharabim, but the mavi is a separate entity. And therefore, the mavi itself is not regarded as though it's open and exposed on both ends to Rosh Hasharabim. The Gemara tells us that's only provided the mavi is entering the rechava at midpoint, meaning the rechava, which is actually wider than the mavi, is overlapping the mavi on both sides, in which case it doesn't appear like the mavi is blending into the rechava. But if the mavi is reaching into the side of the rechava, in this case it's different, because it appears as though the wall of the rechava is actually an extension of the wall of the mavi. So it appears like the mavi is leading straight into the rechava. It's blending into it. It's considered like one long alleyway. And in that case, you would consider the mavi like a mavi mefulish, because it appears as though it's heading into the rechava and heading out to Rosh Hasharabim. So this halacha that it's a mavi sasam is only when it's in the middle of the rechava. Now, Rav Mishashi added for us that this is only when the rechava belongs to a rabbin. It's a publicly owned rechava. There's no concern about perhaps the configuration of the rechava changing in the future. But if it's a rechava de yachid, if it's a privately owned rechava, we're concerned that although at the present moment the mavi seems to be entering the midpoint of the rechava, and therefore it's considered a separate entity, it's not blending, mixing together with the rechava, but perhaps in the future he's going to decide to redevelop the rechava and build some houses. He might build a wall right at the entry point where the mavi enters the rechava. So there'll be a wall there which will seem to be an extension of that mavi, and it's going to appear like the mavi is simply meshing into the rechava, and therefore will have a din like min hatzad. We'll consider both of them like one large extended usage area. Therefore, says Rav Mishashi, if it's a rechava de yachid, we don't treat this mavi as a mavi sasam. We're concerned perhaps things will change in the future, and therefore we don't allow carrying within it without the additional tikkun of a mavi mefulish. Says the Gemara, in the middle of the first wide line, which is 13 lines from the top, how do we know? How do you know that one is meant to suspect and be concerned perhaps things will change in the future? Just follow the present moment. If right now it's fine, who says you're meant to be concerned just because it belongs to a yachid, things might change? Umanot temra, the shanilan, that we should differentiate ben rechava de rabim, rechava de yachid. Says the Gemara, you know why? The Amar Ravan Barav Ada, we find a support to this concept from the following halacha. The Amar Ravan Barav Ada, Amar Yitzchak, Maase b'mavi echad. There was an incident with a certain mavi. So this mavi began at Rosh Hasharabim, of course, and had a lech yokaira. Now the other three sides of the mavi were actually enclosed as follows. One side had a proper mechitza. The other side had a yam, a body of water, where there was a seawall, which is considered to be a mechitza. And then the other side was actually an ashpa, a heap of trash, which was 10 tefachim high and constituted a mechitza. So again, ma'asib mavi echad shetzid echad kala yam. One side of the mavi ended at the yam, which formed a mechitza, because the if it's a riverbed or body of water, so the ridge of the water, it sloped downward in a manner which is considered to be a halachic mechitza. Shetzid echad kala the ashpa, one side of the mavi ended at the ashpa, which is also shesa yachad. Come on, carrying this mavi, why not? It's fully surrounded. Ubo ma'asa afnei Rebbe. So the ma'asa, they came to ask Rebbe, could one carry this mavi, which is surrounded by mechitzas? But like Amar, but like heter lehisser, he was very hesitant to rule on the matter. He didn't issue a heter or a isser. He left it in limbo. Why? Isaloy Amaba, he didn't want to say that it's also carrying the Mavi. Don't carry Mechitzes, because presently there are Mechitzes there. There's an Ashba, there's a Yam, why not? Heteloy Amaba, however, he didn't want to issue an Heter. Why? Chai Shilam, we're concerned perhaps things will change in the future. Shematinotel Ashba, perhaps the Ashba will be removed. But Yala Yam Sirtoin, and the Yam will kick up Sirtoin, Rashi describes as being Choyl Avonim, earth and sand and pebbles. So that's the derech, that's the manner of the yam to do, to kick up this refuse, and perhaps it's going to negate, it's going to level off that mechitza. So due to these concerns, he didn't want to issue a heter, because although in the present moment the mechitzas were present, perhaps they'll disappear in the future. Says the Gemara, how could he be concerned that an ashba will be removed? We seem to have a Mishnah that tells us otherwise. We're concerned that the ashba will be removed, but tanan, haven't we learned? Ashba, which is a tfachim, if you have a heap of garbage in Shasaram, which is 10 tfachim high, which is considered Rishas HaYochid. Chalayin shal gamba, if there's a window on top of it, meaning near that pile, Zorikin Labashabbos. One can throw out an object, he can throw out his garbage onto this pile, which is in Rishas HaRam, because this pile of garbage is considered Rishas HaYochid. So we're not concerned with him using this ashba. Perhaps the ashba will be removed, meaning the pile will get shorter, less than 10 tefachim, and it'll be no longer considered Rishas HaYochid. Not concerned about that. So we have a clear Mishnah that negates that concern. So why was Rebbe concerned by the ashba, which bordered this mavi? So you must make that distinction. It depends who owns the ashba. Alma, apparently, there's a difference. Shani ben ashba de rabim, la ashba de yachid. There's a difference if it's a publicly owned ashba, as in the Mishnah there, where there's no concern they're going to remove the refuse, the garbage, as opposed to the mavi, which apparently was an ashba de yachid, a privately owned heap of trash, where there's a concern perhaps they'll decide to redevelop the area, move out the ashba, in which case the mechitza will no longer exist. So we see that chilek between rabim and yachid. Hachanami here as well, when it comes to the rechava, Shoni ben Rechava de Rabim, Rechava de Yachid, there's a difference between Rechava de Rabim, where we can assume that things will just stay at its status quo, as opposed to a privately owned Rechava, where there's a concern perhaps he's going to decide to redevelop and reconfigure that Rechava and change the dimensions, which will be problematic to our Mavi. So that's the Raya to Rav Misharshia. Says the Gemara, getting back to that Mavi, which Rebbe was pretty hesitant to issue a clear-cut directive. What about the other Rabbanon that were around in that generation? What did they hold regarding that Mavi? Rabbanon Mai. Amar Rav Yosef Bar Avdimi, Tana we learned, and the Braisa of Acham Oishim, they actually prohibited carrying this Mavi. They were very concerned about that eventuality, and they actually said you cannot carry the Mavi. Amar Rav Nachman, Halacha Gedivrei Chachamim, indeed, we follow, the Halacha follows their Shita. Ike de Ambi, there's another version of events. Of Rav Yosef Rav Dimi, Tana, we learned to the rise of a Chum Matir. They were matir to carry that Mavi. They weren't concerned with that possibility of the Vechitzas being removed. Of Rav Nachman, Ein Halacha, Kid the Chacham, we don't follow the Chacham Shita. We are concerned about the removal of those Vechitzas. Continues the Gemara with another story at Mareimar, Pasik Lal Surah B'Uzli. So in the town of Surah, there were the Muvais, these alleyways, which began at Rishus HaRabim, with a Lechi Bekor, and they extended up until the body of water, which posed a Mechitza. Marema was concerned that perhaps that Mechitza will eventually disintegrate. As we said earlier, the Yam will change things. Therefore, he was Pasikla L'Sura B'Uzli. So he partitioned these Mavois in Sura B'Uzli with nets. He created a true partition, did not want to rely on the Yam. Amar, he said, Chayshinan Shamiyala, I am certain, we're concerned that Yam will kick up the refuse and the dirt, and this will negate, will level off that mechitza. And therefore, he created his own mechitza. Says the Gemara, Hu Mavi Akum Dahava Besura. So in the town of Surah, there was also this Mavi Akum, this bent Mavi. We learned this earlier, that there was Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. How do we regard a Mavi Akum? So this is a Mavi which begins at Rishus HaRabim, takes a sharp bend, and ends in Rishus HaRabim. So technically, it's a walkthrough from one Rishus HaRabim to the other. But since it's in the direct route, it's different than your typical Mavi Mefulash. Rav says, nevertheless, it is regarded as a walkthrough, it's a mavim of foolish, and therefore one needs to place a tzuras ha-pesach, a physical formation of a doorway, at that bend, so it's an L-shaped mavim, at the bend, he needs to place a tzuras ha-pesach to enclose each leg of this mavim, to make it a mavim sasim, and this will allow placing lechi over here, and the lechi over here, at the entranceway to Rishis Rabbim. Shmuel says, no, it's a Mavi Sosam. Since it's an indirect route, we regard this as a Mavi Sosam, this as a Mavi Sosam. There's no need to add more than your standard Lech Vikuri at the entrance point to Rishis Rabbim. So there was a story about a Mavi Akam that was in Surah. So what did they do? Korach Budya. They rolled up a mat, a Sivu Bei Ba'akmu Mise. They placed it at the bend, at the crack in the L. Amrav Chizda, what did they do? Had like a Rav, like a Shmuel. They didn't follow neither Rav Shita nor Shmuel Shita. Explains the Gemara. The Rav, the Amar Torah, is a foolish. Rav who maintains that a Mavi Akam has a din like an open and exposed Mavi. Tzuras HaPesach boy. That requires a Tzuras HaPesach. So what good did they do by adding this rolled up mat at the bent portion of the Mavi? That doesn't close things off. L'Shmuel, the Amar Torah, is a Now, according to Shmuel, who maintains that it's a Mavi Sosam, and therefore only your standard Lechi or Kir is required. Now, Rashi explains that what happened was, so this L-shaped Mavi, there were people living on this part of the Mavi, and there was Bnei Mavi over here. Now, only the people living on one leg of that L, of that L-shaped Mavi, wanted to carry in their Mavi. So they placed a Lechi at the entranceway to Rishis Rabbim, in order to allow carrying within their portion of the Mavi. The other people on the other side of that bent Mavi weren't really concerned about carrying. They weren't looking to allow carrying in their portion of the Mavi. So they didn't place a Lechi where they enter from Rishis Rabbim. So the fellows living on this side of the Mavi who had placed a Lechi at the entrance point of their portion of the Mavi, they needed to place a Lechi right at the bend, at the meeting point of one portion of the Mavi with the other portion of the Mavi in order to separate themselves from the other portion of the Mavi, meaning it's like a substitute for the Lechi that's meant to be really at the other entrance point to Rishis Rabbim. So therefore they placed a Lechi right at the bend of the Mavi. They placed one at their entrance point and at the bend as well. Says the Gemara, if they were trying to do that, because this is in accordance with Shmuel, who considers this Mavi as a Mavi Sosam, and all it needs is a Lechi at the entrance point to Rishis Rabbim. L'shmo d'ama tereska sasam, hani mi lechi ma'alya. It's only if you use a proper lechi. Aval hai, but this rolled up mat, kivin the nov shev beizika v'shadilei. Since it's this light, flimsy thing which the wind can simply blow it away, loy klomu, it's not worth anything. So what do they accomplish? V'no yitz beizikza. Indeed, if they affixed a peg, a nail into this mat, v'chibrei, and affixed it to the ground, chibrei, that's affixed, then it'll be fine. But just to put this rolled mat somewhere in the middle of your Mavi really doesn't provide any benefit. So in summary, we learned that, yes, indeed, there is a chashash in some situations that things will change. For instance, a rechava de yachad, perhaps he'll build it up and change the configuration. This will cause the Mavi, which is entering that rechava, to be coming into the side of the rechava and to appear as one continuous entity with the rechava. We learned that in ashpa de yachad, there is a concern that perhaps it's going to be removed. The same thing regarding a yam. Perhaps the yam will be malas sirtain, will bring up sand and pebbles and negate the mechitzas. Continues the Gemara. Gufa, so we learned earlier regarding the mavi which is entering the chatzar. Amar av yirme ba'ab amarav. Mavi shenifratz. V'maloye lechatzar. If you have a mavi which is beginning at Rishis Rabbim, continue on to a chatzar, and it's breached, completely open to that chatzar, even if it's a chatzar connector. And the chatzar itself has also been breached. There was a hole that formed in the wall, which is separating the chatzar from Rishis Rabbim. So that breach was facing opposite the Mavi. Chatzar muteris, or Mavi asr. So we learned earlier that the chatzar is mutter, you can carry in the chatzar. There's no need to make an erev chatzeris with the mavi, because the chatzar is certainly considered to be a separate entity, due to the fact that the chatzar is larger than the mavi, and envelops the mavi, it overlaps the mavi. So when you're standing on the chatzar side of things, the Mavi, which is entering the Chatzar, appears merely like an entranceway, like a Pesach, because on both sides there are walls. So the Chatzar doesn't need to make an Erev with the residence of the Mavi in order to allow carrying within the Chatzar. But Umavi, Asr, the Mavi is Asr Betiltel, because you can't carry the Mavi without an Erev with the Bnei HaChatzar. Why is that? Because the Mavi was Nifratz L'Chatzar. It's completely exposed and open to the Chatzar. There's no Tzuras HaPesach. There's nothing separating the Mavi from the Chatzar. Meaning, this breach between the Mavi and the Chatzar has two applications. It serves two purposes. As far as the Chatzar is concerned, it's regarded like a Pesach, like a doorway, like an entranceway, due to the fact that on the Chatzar's side of things, from his perspective, it looks like a doorway, because there are walls on both either side of that entrance point. As opposed to the Mavi, for him, this is merely a Pirtza. Meaning, when you have a hole in a wall, it can be classified in two ways. It can be called a Pesach, a doorway, an entranceway. A wall is meant to have an entranceway. It doesn't negate the wall, provided that it's configured properly. It's no larger than 10 amos. Or as we learned earlier, it can't be breached into the corner. It has to have a din of a Pesach. So regarding the Chatzar, this entranceway is a Pesach. As opposed to the Mavi side of things, it's called a Pirtza. Pirtza means a breach in a wall. That negates the status of the wall, the Mechitza. Because a wall is meant to contain. If it's broken open, it's not serving the function of a Mechitza. It's not functioning, it's not enclosing. So we always have to judge, we have to be done, whether a hole is regarded as a Pesach or as a Pirtza. So the Gemara tells us that this hole in the wall between the Mavi and the Chatzar is serving a double function. It depends who's looking at it. When the Chatzar is looking at it, it has the din of a Pesach. When the Mavi is looking at this opening, it's a Pirtza because it's completely open. The entire wall is gone between the Mavi and the Chatzar. So therefore, the Chatzar has no issue with Erev Chatzeres. He doesn't need to be Meshatev himself, to combine, to merge residency between himself and the Mavi, because he's a separate entity. It's like two Chatzeres with a Pesach between them. They're not obliged to make an Erev one with the other. So the fact that there's no Erev here doesn't harm the Chatzar in any way. He can continue carrying it. As opposed to the Mavi, who's completely breached and open to that Chatzar without a separating factor between them. There's no Pesach there. So therefore, as far as he's concerned, he's totally enmeshed with the Chatzar, and he can't carry unless he makes an Erev Chatzeres together with the residents of the Chatzar. So that's the pshat in Rav. Chatzar muteres, umavi asr. So two halachas he's teaching us. On the one hand, the chatzar is muter, because it's considered to be a separate entity, as opposed to the mavi, where you cannot carry in the absence of Erev Chatzeres. Amalei Rabba bar Ula, Rabbi bar Abai. Rabbi, lo mishnah seinu hizu? What is the chiddush of Rav? Haven't we already learned this concept in a mishnah? Both concepts. That the Chatzar should be Mutter and the Mavi should be Asr. Which Mishnah? Chatzar Ktana Shenifetz L'Gdoila. You have a small courtyard which was breached entirely to the larger courtyard next to it. So the entire wall of the Chatzar Ktana is gone. But the Chatzar G'dayla is overlapping the Ktana. So we have a similar situation here. As far as the Chatzar Ktana is concerned, he's missing a wall. That's a Pirtza, that's not a Pesach when you're missing an entire wall. So he's completely exposed to the Chatzar G'dayla. He's mixed in with the Chatzar G'dayla, as opposed to the Chatzar G'dayla with the Ktana. As far as the Chatzar G'dayla is concerned, he's not mixed up with the Ktana. He takes a look at this breach. He says, well, this is my Pesach. This is an entranceway to the Ktana. Because he has walls built on either side of that entranceway, of that meeting point between the Ktana and the G'dayla. So the Mishnah tells us that a Chatzar Ktana shnifetz L'G'dayla, G'dayla muteres, the Chatzar G'dayla is perfectly mutter to carry within it without an Erev with the Ktana, because he's separated by a Pesach, Uktana Asura. But the Chatzar Ktana now is Asura unless he makes an Erev with the G'dayla, because he's mixed in, because this entry point, this point where the Ktana and G'dayla join, is regarded as a Pesach, as an entranceway, as far as the G'dayla is concerned. But not as far as the Ktana is concerned. So both concepts are already included in the Mishnah. What's Rav's Chiddush? Amar Lei. So Rabbi Bar Abaye responded, there is a chiddush to Rav's halacha. Imi asam. If only that Mishnah. Havamina, perhaps I would think, Hane mili heichad lekodarsi be'rabin. That halacha, that a chatzar is mutter, that's only because it's a fully enclosed chatzar. There's no breach from the chatzar to Shus Rabin. The public is not passing through this chatzar. Aval heichad lekodarsi be'rabin, but in a case such as ours, where the public is accessing this, they're running through this chatzar, using it as an access route to get through to the other side, because we're speaking about a chatzar, which was nifras to Shus Rabim. So the Rabim, the pedestrians, are using this as a walkthrough from one Shus Rabim through the chatzar, through the Mavi, all the way to the other Shus Rabim on the other side. So it's being used as an access route from one street to the other. Perhaps this would be different. Ema, afilu chatzar nami. Perhaps I would say that even the chatzar would be usher. It's considered Shus Rabim. It's part of the street. That's why Rav needs to teach us. No. That despite the fact that this chatzar has been breached of Shus Rabim, it doesn't negate its Shus HaYochid status. Because that pirta to Shus Rabim, being that it's no larger than 10 amos, is considered a Pesach, an entranceway to Shus Rabim. And therefore, although the Rabim are using this as a walkthrough, it still retains its Shus HaYochid status. Let's take a look at Rashi inside, which is 6 lines from the bottom. Gufa Amar of Yirmiyah. So we went back to the halacha of Rav Yirmiyah, who told us that when the Mavi is entering the chatzar, you cannot use the Mavi. V'ukma, and we established the pshat in this halacha, kishle irvu, because it was in the absence of an erev. V'isura de Mavi, mishum de asriya lei b'nei achatzaru. The reason why you can't carry the Mavi, because the b'nei achatzar, they are oisura de Mavi, due to the lack of erev between them. So the Gemara asked, weren't we already taught this halacha in a Mishnah? Loi Mishnah seni? Heter chatzar tanina, the fact that in such a situation, the chatzar would be mutter, we already learned that. V'isur mavi tanina, likewise we learned that the mavi would be asur, just as the case of the two chatzeris. Chatzar tana shenifratza b'milua l'gdoyla, the small sized courtyard, which has been fully breached, meaning the entire wall disappeared between himself and the gdoyla. Gdoyla muteras. Why? V'loy asri b'nei k'tani l'vei. And the residents of the small courtyard don't negate the gdoila. They don't make it asr. Why? They'll gab gdoila pesachu. Because from the gdoila's perspective, this entrance, this meeting point between the tana gdoila is regarded as a pesach. The yeshla shir mekana mekana, because there's some remaining built-up wall on both sides of that entry. It's like two chatzerus, which are side by side with a doorway in between. They don't affect each other. The Gemara later will establish, describe, b'she'en k'tana ruchabe yisem eser, that k'tana isn't wider than 10 amos. The yisem eser, because if it would have been larger than 10 amos, we have a pesach, we would not consider this breach as a pesach, because we know that a hole, a gap larger than 10 amos wide, certainly cannot be considered a pesach. Okay, but since it's 10 or less, and we regard it as a pesach for the gdoila, therefore the gdoila remains mutter, because it is a separate entity from the k'tana. Uk'tana asura. Why? Dildido la pesachu. As far as the Ketana is concerned, this breach is not a pesach. Ela pirtza. It's a breach. Because the entire wall of the Ketana is totally missing. Venasas reshuzen shabag negdoila. It's considered to be the usage area of the negdoila. Shavarinis areman. Because it got mixed up. It blended into the gdoila. It was breached. And got totally mixed in with the gdoila. It became one entity. So as far as the Ketana is concerned, he's mixed them with the gdoila, and therefore he needs to make an eruv with all the residents together to allow carrying within it. So the kasha was, both halachis were already taught in the Mishnah. Number one, that the chatzar remains mutter. Number two, that the mavi remains also. Amar Lesi responded, there is a chiddush. Rav het the chatzar ashminan. He's coming to teach us that chatzar is mutter. V'afagav the nifratza b'kois l'asheni. Although in our case, unlike the Mishnah with the chatzar, our case was speaking there, the chatzar was breached to Rishus Rabim on the other wall. The Darsi Rabim, it's used as a public thoroughfare. Mirshus Rabim Zu, Rishus Rabim Zu, from one street to the other. Dera Chatzar Mavi. So they go from one street to the Chatzar, through the Mavi to the other street. And he's teaching us that it's still Mutter. And that we can't learn from the Mishnah. Dimil Hasam. If only from that Mishnah, Havamina, I would say, Mishnah Lay Darsi Rabim. Because we're speaking with the Rabim, do not use this as a walkthrough. We're speaking that the Chatzah Gdeila there only connected to the Tana. There was no other Pirzah to Rishus HaRavim in the Gdeila. So that's the Chiddush of Rav, despite the fact it's being used as a walkthrough from one street to the other, it still retains its Rishus HaYachid status. Continues the Gemara, but that as well was already taught in the Mishnah. Two lines from the bottom in the Gemara, Vahanami Tanina. This as well was already taught in the Mishnah. Chatzah Sharabim Nichnasan Labazu. If we have a chatzer which is open on both sides, it has two entry points, Rishus HaRavim, and the public uses it as a walkthrough. They go on from one side, they go out through the other. Rishus HaRavim L'tumah, which is Yachad Shabbos. When it comes to the halachas of Shabbos, it's considered to be a full-fledged Rishus HaYachad, an enclosed area, despite the fact that this chatzer features two entry points, and it's used as a walkthrough. When it comes to Rishus HaRavim, when it comes to Tumah, that's a different concept. So we know that when there's an uncertainty, a suffix, whether one became Tamei, and that suffix took place in Rishus HaRavim, the halacha is suffix Tumah b'Rishus HaRavim, it's Tor. Now the concept of Rishus HaRavim, when it comes to Tumah, is unrelated to Shabbos. Shabbos is dependent on enclosure on Mechitzis, as opposed to the halacha of Tumah, which is dependent on whether it's a public area. So if it's lacking privacy, it's called the Rishus HaRavim. So this chatzah, which is a publicly used area, when it comes to the halacha of Tumah, it's considered Rishus HaRavim. That's unrelated to us. But when it comes to Shabbos, the Mishnah clearly says Rishus HaYachad. So we already taught this halacha in the Mishnah. When something is a walkthrough, it retains its Rishus HaYachad status. So what was Rav coming to teach us? Says the Gemara, Imil Hasam, and only from that Mishnah HaVamina, I would say, Hani Mili, that's only Zesh Lo Keneged Zeh. We're speaking a case where both openings to Rishus HaRavim were not directly opposite each other. In which case, the access route is not such a convenient access route. You're going in from one side of the Chatzar, you're coming out of the other. It's not directly opposite each other. It's not considered perhaps Rishus HaRavim because it's not a convenient direct route. Perhaps that is the case that the Mishnah they are speaking about. Aval zeh keneged zeh imaloi, perhaps. When both entry points are directly facing each other, perhaps that loses its Rishus HaYachad status. It's considered like a street. So that is what Rav's coming to teach us. No, even when both entry points are directly opposite each other, the Chatzar remains a Chatzar and remains a Yachad and one can carry through it. Says more, but that's only if you assume that Rav was speaking about such a case, that the Chatzar had two entry points which were directly opposite each other. So it's more the Rabba the Omer, Zekeneged the Asr. However, according to Rabba, who taught us earlier that Rav evidently is not speaking about such a case, because when Rav tells us that the Mavi which is entering a Chatzah, which has been breached to Rishus HaRavim, the Mavi is called a Mavi Sasam, and one can go ahead and carry in the Chatzah. So when Rav tells us the Mavi is a Mavi Sasan, that's only because the breach that occurred in the wall of the Chatzar, opposite that Mavi, was speaking about specifically where that Pirtza was not directly facing the Mavi. Zekeneged Zahasa. If it would be opposite the Mavi would be considered a Mavi Mefulish. So apparently Rav was not speaking about that, because Rav says it's a Mavi Sasan. The Rav of my Mukila. If so, how do we interpret Rav, who tells us that the Mavi entering this Chatzar is a Mavi Sasam? Apparently, that both entry points of the Chatzar were not directly facing each other. And that's why the Mavi is called a Mavi Sasam, because we don't regard this alleyway as though it's heading out to Rishus HaRavim, as we mentioned earlier in Avchetzam and Aleph. Now, if that's the case, that Rav is speaking where the both entry points of the Chatzar are not directly opposite each other, Tarti Lamali, then why do we need this repetition? Meaning, the whole point here was that from the Mishnah, we would think perhaps the Chatzah only retains its Rishus HaYachad status, because both entry points to the Chatzah are not directly facing each other. Rav is coming to teach us, even though they're facing each other, it's still Rishus HaYachad. But Rav is not speaking about such a case. Rav himself was only speaking where the Chatzah was open with two entranceways that are not facing each other. Now, if that's the case, then he's merely repeating the Halacha in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, there's still a chiddush from Rav. If only from that Mishnah, I would say, perhaps, Hanimil Lizrik. Yes, this chatzar is considered Rosh Hashayachad despite the fact that it's being used as a walkthrough for the rabbim, which are entering one side, going out the other. Perhaps that's a Rosh Hashayachad for Menat Torah. Hanimil Lizrik. We consider it to be Menat Torah Rosh Hashayachad, for instance, if one is standing outside and throws an object into this chatzar, he is chayev due to the fact that he threw from Shisram Rosh Hashayachad. But perhaps Midrabbanon, one would not be allowed to carry within his chatzar. Perhaps one cannot carry throughout his chatzar Midrabbanon. Perhaps we would consider it like a karmelis, since it's a publicly used area. Kamash malon. That's why Rav comes to teach us. No, one can use his chatzar without any hesitation. Even with Rabbanon, one can carry through it, since it's enclosed. There's no pirtza here. So despite the fact that there are two entry points, and the Rabbim are using it as a walkthrough, it still retains its Rosh Hashayachad status, even to allow tilta midrabban. So in summary, we learned that a chatzar, who features two entry points, where the Rabbim are actually making use of this chatzar, who can carry in this chatzar, even if it's Darsiba Rabbim, and even if the entry points are directly facing each other, which makes it a very convenient walkthrough, and the Gemara concluded, one can carry through this chatzar even midrabban. Continues the Gemara. It's what we learned. Mavoy ha'asik nedel. So nadel is this centipede. So this low-lying creature that has a long body, and that there are legs which branch off to the side. So we have a mavi, which is configured in such a manner. We have a main alleyway, a main mavi, and we have small alleyways branching off to the side. Now, the main alleyway is a mavi sasam, meaning it begins at Rosh Hashanah, but then it has three mechitzes. It's not heading to another Rosh Hashanah directly. However, these small alleyways, which are branching off the side of this main alleyway, they are heading to Rosh Hashanah. This is a typical mavi akal, a bent mavi. Mavi asakinel. Amar Abayi, how are you meant to fix up, adapt this mavi, allow carrying within it? So he goes ahead and constructs a physical formation of a door, Tzuris HaPesach, at the entry point of the main alleyway, where it meets Rosh Hashanah. And now the other small alleyways, Mishteru, they become permitted, Belecha Bekoira, by simply placing a Lecha Bekoira, where they meet Rosh Hashanah. But there's nothing required anywhere throughout the Mavi, not at the bends, nowhere else, just at Tzuris HaPesach, at the opening of the large Mavi, and the Lechi Okaira at the entrance point to Rosh Hashanah of these small alleyways. Amalei Rava, so Rava responded to Abayi. Apparently, you are treating this Mavi Kenadol like a Mavi Sasam, despite the fact that it begins and leads into Rosh Hashanah. Keman Kishmu, Dama Teres Kisasam? You're regarding it as Mavi Sasam, and therefore you don't require anything at the bend. So why do you require Tzuris HaPesach at all? According to Shmuel, these mavois are considered to be fully enclosed mavois. Standard mavois sasam. All you need is a lechev ekoira. Why did you require them to place a Tzuris HaPesach at the entry point of the large mavois? Void, another kasha. How can you treat this as a mavois sasam? Hahu mavois akum dava ben ado. There was this Mavi Akam in Arda, which we had learned earlier on Davav. V'chosh l'derav. And they took Rav's Shita into consideration. So Tais explains, despite the fact that Arda was actually the place of Shmuel's residence, they reckoned with Rav's Shita. Apparently, even the place of Shmuel's residence, Rav's Shita has some credence and credibility. We went to reckon with it and treat it like a Mavi Mefulash. So Rava disagrees with Abayi. El Amar Rava, this is how we meant to proceed. Rava says, yes indeed, we treat this like a Mavi Akam, like a Mavi Mefush. And therefore, we need many Tzuris HaPesach. He places many Tzuris HaPesach, Tzuris HaPesach, at the bends, meaning where the small alleyways branch off from the large alleyway. So at that crack, at that bend in the L, at that right angle, you place a Tzuris HaPesach, which will enclose the Mavi, will make it like a Mavi Sasam. And now we have a Mavi Sasam, fine. You add your standard Lecha V'Kaira at the other end of the of the moed. Vidach kisa, on the other side, mishru b'lechem ikoro, they will become mutter by placing lechem ikoro. So Rava disagrees with Abai. He says, treat it like a moed, foolish, in accordance with Shita's Rav, place a tzuras ha-pesach in the middle of the moed, in order to break up the small moed from the big moed, to make it like a mechitza, to turn each individual moed, each individual alleyway, like a moed sasam, like it's enclosed from three sides, and then treat it like a moed sasam, where a standard lechev ekeira would suffice at the entry point to the rabbi. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rav Kahana bar Tachlifa, Mishmei, in the name of the Rav Kahana bar Menyumi, Mishmei, in the name of the Rav Kahana bar Malchayoi, Mishmei, in the name the Rav Kahana, who was Rabbi, the Rebbe, the teacher of the Rav, who was the Rebbe of Rav. But Amigdal, some have a different version, that Rav Kahana bar Malachav himself, Hainu himself, was actually Rav Kahana, Rabbi the Rav. He was the Rav Kahana who was the Rebbe of Rav. Okay, so which halacha did they teach us? As follows. You have an alleyway where one of the two walls extends past the other wall into the Rav. So one wall is longer than the other. Where do you place the Kaira? So it depends how much the wall extends into Shisram past the other wall. Pachas me'aba amis, if a mili extends less than 4 amis, no problem. Maniachas akor ba'alachsoin. He takes the kura, he takes that crossbeam and places it diagonally. He puts it at the end of the long wall and stretches it over, places it on the top of the short wall, and covers the whole area within it, which is mutter. Arba amis, but if this area is longer than 4 amis, which is already a significant area, the shear of a mavoi. So if the longer wall extends 4 amis past the shorter wall, we can allow the kur to be placed diagonally. Arba amis ein amaniachas akur el kenegel akotzer. In this case, he places the kur opposite the short wall. So he places it at the top of the end of the short wall and brings it over to the large wall and does not allow carrying in this space alongside the wall which extends to Rav. So that's the first sheet. Rav Amar, no. Echazeh v'echazeh, in either case, when the wall extends past the other, Eina meneach sa'kor el kenega kotzer. He can only place the kor opposite the small wall, the short wall. We cannot place a kor diagonally. Says Rav, I'll explain. Ve'eim atamadidi, I'll explain my reasoning. Ve'eim atamadidi, I'll explain their reasoning. What is my reason? Kaira tamamai. How does the kaira work? Mishum heker. It makes that indication, that separateness between the mavin shesurav. Or by lachsun lava heker. When placing a kaira diagonally, it doesn't provide recognition. It's not a proper indicator. Rashi will explain for us that if you're going to place the kaira at a slant and allow carrying all throughout that area, a person walking by will see people carrying along the long wall, which is extending past the short wall, it will appear like they're carrying a shesurav. So there's no proper indication here that it's a mavi. Therefore, I don't allow carrying alongside the long wall altogether. So that's my reason. Kohen works as a heker. The Eim HaTamid, too, I'll explain their reasoning as well. They hold Kohen Mishumai Mishumachitza. The Kohen, although it's providing, it's demonstrating the separation between the mavi to shesurav, but it's based on the guidelines of Mechitza. The Chacham established the Takana of Kaira based on certain guidelines. It's meant to conform to the halachas of Mechitza. It's viewed like a partition, like a wall that was erected. Now, a wall? You can build a wall in any shape, or form, or direction, or angle that you wish. Or by lach sanam, you have a Mechitza. So even diagonally, it's considered a Mechitza. Therefore, they hold that you can place the Kaira at an angle. It's as though you built a wall. And that allows carrying anywhere within it. Amar Rav Kahana, Hoy l'shmaitza l'kahani, since this is a halacha which was stated by all these individuals with the name Kohen, Eimah b'Mosa, I too, who have a name Kahana, will add my perspective. Ho da amris maniach hakor ba'alachsin, this that you say, that you can place the kohira diagonally, lo yamar, this is only said, ela she'en ba'alachsoinoi yoyse meresa, provided that the entire length of that slant, of that angle, is no more than 10 amis. But if this alachsin totals more than 10 amos, all agree that you cannot do that. You must place the koira opposite the short wall in order to lessen the width of the opening to the mavi. Meaning he's saying as follows, even though the entry point to the mavi is merely, let's say, 10 amos in width, which is fine, as long as it's not greater than 10 amos, it's called a pesach. But when you place something at an angle, so you're beginning at the short wall, and you're putting it at an angle to the long wall, this, the width, the total length of this koira will total more than 10 amos. So all of the actual width of the entry point to the mavi is merely 9 or 10, which is fine. But this koira is what forms the entry point to the mavi. It's creating that pesach, right? The whole point of koira is that it should create that separation, create that entry point. So if the koira itself is longer than 10 amos, you've created a pesach, which is wider than 10 amos, which is a pirtza. And it's useless. Therefore, he says, you must be careful that it doesn't total more than 10 amos. Let's take a look at Rashi inside, 14 lines from the bottom. It says, Rashi, tzidechad orach, you have a wall which is actually long, v'nimshach koysel shesurabim, which extends into shesurabim, yoysim koysel hasheni kazeh, longer than the other side, as the diagram in Rashi, you have the mavi, and the right side of the mavi extends past the left side. So it depends. In pachas me'arba amos, if this extension is less than 4 amos, maniach koira b'alachsoin, he places the koira at his land, v'yishtamesh kam barucha v'kam b'ktzora, and he uses this space alongside each wall, so he can use on the longer wall, he can use more area than the shorter wall. Arba amos, but if this extension is 4 amos or more, ein maniach koira, then he cannot place the koira in such a manner. Al reish koira l'orach, he can't place it atop the extended wall. Ella koinis leflim miroisha, he must bring the koira in, keneged roisha kois lakotso manicha, he must place it opposite the shorter wall. So that's the first sheet in the Gemara, depending how long the wall is. That determines the placement of the koira. Rava, however, says, no, I don't allow placing a koira at an angle. Why? Because I hold the koira is meant to indicate, meant to provide heker, or balachshon lave akira. You're defeating the purpose if you're placing it at an angle. Why? Sharoi b'nei mavet. So the onlooker sees that the residents of the mavi, nimshachin, u'nishtamishim shesurabim, they're going out and using, carrying in the shesurabim, chutz mikineged koysel hakotzer, beyond the shorter wall. Oimer, this fellow will say, mutal ishtamish shesurabim, won't allow the carry shesurabim. He won't realize that it's within the mavi. Sh'ilvishein oisei oidif, because that extra space doesn't appear. Ein oisei oidif doime sh'yemin ha-mavi, it doesn't appear like it's part of the mavi. So you're defeating the purpose. The whole koira is meant to show separateness. It's going to confuse people. Now the Gemara concluded that even if you're allowed to place the koira at an angle, that's only provided that the width of that new entranceway that you're forming, meaning the total length of that koira, doesn't total more than 10 amis. She'ein ba'ach soin yisim eser. Shama v'kotza l'roch b'yahar, it's very narrow. V'ein b'roich b'y u'ba'ar ba'amis hanem shachin l'tzdar yisim eser. Rashi means is that the entry point to the mavi is very narrow. So even if you place this koira at this angle, it won't total more than 10 amos. Avol yesh balach soin yesh me'eser, but if it totals more than 10 amos, you have a problem. Nimtza pischa yirachav me'eser. This results in the entry point of the mavi being greater than 10 amos. Said Rashi, why? What do you mean? The entry point of the mavi is less than 10 amos. Just because the koira is longer? Why does that harm the mavi? Says Rashi, the punchline is sharei kol tachas ha-koira ve'pesach. Because beneath the koira is called the pesach. The koira is fashioning the entryway to the mavi. So when you place it diagonally, you're forming a diagonal entryway. If it's greater than 10 amos, it's a piritza. And it does not constitute a pesach. So in summary, we learned about a mavi. Shetzide erech echad orech, one side is longer than the other. Tzide echad orech, tzide echad katzah, what do you do? So if the extension is less than 4 amos, Rav Machlek, Rav Kana says, you can place the koira on a slant, you can place it keneged ha'aruch. Rava says, no, you can never place it crooked. It has to be opposite the short wall. Place the koira straight in a way which will provide proper heker. All agree that if the extension is 4 amos or more, which is a significant shear, you cannot place the koira that far out. You must place it opposite the short wall. The Gemara concludes that if this alachsin totals more than 10 amos. So the Kira place that in a slant is reaching more than 10 amos. Then all agree you cannot use this entry point. You must shorten that entry point to 10 amos or less. Continues the Gemara. What about a standard Kira lying alongside the entranceway to a Mavi? Can one carry beneath that Kira or not? Ibailu, so they ask the following question. Can one carry beneath the Kira? Is the space below the Kira included in the heter of the Kira or not? Rav, Rabbi Chira, Rabbi Yochanan, Amru, Mutar, L'shtamash tachas ha-Kira. Shmuel, Rabbi Shimba, Rabbi Shimba, Lachash Amru, also L'shtamash tachas ha-Kira. So some say you can, some say you cannot use the space underneath the Kira. Explains the Gemara, what is the point of the machlekes? Lema, shall we say? Balkam eflagi. And this is the point of the machlekes. The mar savar, kur mishum heker. The shita that says that one can carry beneath the kur, he holds that the kur is functioning as an indicator of separateness between the mavi and shesurabim. Therefore, the heker is activated at the outer surface of that kur. So one sees that kur from the outside. He sees that this is a different entity. And therefore, the heter of the kura begins at the outer portion of the kura, and beneath the kura is included in the heter. Umar sava kura shemachitza. The other shita that does not allow carrying underneath the kura says, you know how a kura works? Certainly it's providing heker to show separateness, but it's based on the concept of mechitza. We view the kura as though it's descending, it's closing off the entry point to the mavi. Therefore, he holds that the mechitza only works from the inner point, inner surface of that kura. We view the chudi ha-pnimi, the inside corner facing downward of that kura, as though it's descending down and closing off the area. Therefore, beneath the kura is not included in the heter. Says Merloi, you don't need to say that this is the point of the machlekes. The kuliyam kolim shum heker. All agree, perhaps, that the kura works as a heker. So, what is the machlekes? V'hocha b'alkem iflaki. The point of the machlekes is as follows: Mar demar sabay kerem legav. A sheet that says that one cannot carry beneath the kura holds that the heker is directed primarily at the inhabitants of the mavi who are exiting the mavi and they see this kura before them. That creates that heker, that separation. So since it's the interior surface of the kura which is functioning as the heker, so only from that point inward can one carry, but not beneath the kura itself. Umar Savei Kerem Levar, the other shita holds that the heker is directed primarily at the Bnei Rishon Saram who are entering the Mavi. So it's the outer surface of the Kira which is providing heker. And therefore, anything inward, including the area beneath the Kira, is included in the heter. Same another approach, the Kuli Alma all agree Kira Mishum Mechitza, that a Kira works with the concept of Mechitza. It's viewed as though it's a wall built alongside the entry to the Mavi. And the point of Machog is as follows. The Marasavar Chudei HaPnimi Yod V'Soysen. The Shita that says that one cannot carry under the Kura, he holds that the inner point of the Kura, which is facing downward, is Yod V'Soysen, viewed as though it's descending down and making a Mechitza. So the Mechitza is activated at the interior surface of the Kura. Because the point of the Mechitza is to enclose an area. Anything within the enclosure is considered to be enclosed. So inside the kura is considered to be contained by the kura, and therefore one can only carry up until the kura. Umar Sabah, however, the other sheet that says one can carry beneath the kura, he says, sure, the kura works as a mechitza, but which surface of the kura is viewed as though it's descending down? Chudei hachitza, Yerid v'Soysim, the outer corner of the kura, which is facing down, is viewed as though it's descending and closing off the area. Apparently, he holds that you need to shut out the shesurabim. The point is not so much to create an enclosure to the mavi, to the kura, rather to block out the shesurabim. So, which surface of the kura is accomplishing that? It's the outer surface of the kura, which is on the shesurabim's side. So, once you detach the shesurabim from the mavi, you've created a proper mavi. Therefore, anything within that point is included in the heta of the kura, including beneath the kura. Now, what about alongside a lechi? Amar Chizda. Hakol moedim, all will agree, between the chayim she'asur. Alongside a lechi, one cannot carry. So lechi is the post placed alongside the entryway to the mavi, instead of the kura. In that case, all agree, one cannot carry alongside the lechi. This explains, because in contrast to a kura, which is something relatively wide, it's a tefach wide, which is something noticeable, the lechi can even be a thin, flimsy piece of wood, which is not so noticeable, and therefore we cannot allow carrying alongside it. perhaps it's going to create confusion. If you carry there, this will lead to uncaring Shasarab. Continues the Gemara. Boy minei Rami bar Chama mirav Chizda. What about the following kids? Not shtei yisedos, b'shnei kos limavi machutz. So you have the two walls of the mavi heading to Shasarabim. Instead of placing the koira over the entryway to the mavi, he affixed two poles sticking out, extending the Shasarabim. So one on this side and one on this side, to be used as a support for the koira. And he placed the koira alongside the entranceway, but instead of above it, he placed it alongside the entranceway on these sticks. Not shtei yisedos, b'shnei kos limavim b'chutz. So he fixed these two poles, extending from the two walls of the mavi, extending outward, v'niach koira gabeim, and he placed the koira above them. So the koira is outside of the mavi, but it is flush, it is touching the mavi. But instead of over the entryway, it's beside the entryway. Ma, what is the halacha? Can one use the koira in this manner or not? Amalei, Rav Chizda responded something interesting. L'divrei hamatir os, we had a machlokes earlier, can one use the space beneath the koira? Says Rav Chizda, it's going to depend on that. According to the Shita, that one can use the space beneath the koira, because apparently, it's the outer surface of the koira which is providing that mechitza, for instance. So anything within that point is considered part of the heter, was covered by the koira. So since it's the outer surface of the koira which is being activated, that outer surface is far removed from the mavi. It's out of shisarabim. It doesn't relate to the mavi. Aser. So according to that shita, this mavi does not this koira does not function as a koira which will allow carrying the mavi, because it's not connected to the mavi. And the point of a koira is to create that entryway, that pesach, to be part of the pesach. But if it's out of shisarabim, doesn't relate to the mavi. But conversely, the divrei ha'oser muta, according to the shita, that you cannot carry beneath that koira. Apparently, it's because the inner surface of that koira is providing coverage. That inner surface is flush against the mavi, so it relates to the mavi and can provide coverage. The divrei ha'oser muta. Rav Amar, no. The divrei ha'oser nami aser. Even according to this shita, it's us that carry the mavi. Why? Be'inin koira al gabi mavi v'leka. The koira is required to be on the mavi, over the entryway of the mavi. But if it's beside the mavi, that's not creating that configuration of Pesach, and therefore it doesn't serve any function. It does not allow carrying within the mavi. So in summary, we discussed carrying beneath the koira. One shita says muta, one shita says asa. We have three approaches. Number one, the question is whether koira is providing heker, in which case even beneath the koira is included in that, or it's providing mechitza, in which case beneath the koira is not included. The next approach was all agree that it's heker. The question is, does the heker begin outside, in which case the koira is included, or does the heker begin inside, in which case beneath the koira is not included? The third approach was all agree that a koira works as a mechitza. Is it the inner portion of the koira which is providing coverage, in which case the koira is not included, or is the outer portion, in which case the koira is included? When the koira is sitting on top of these poles, Rav Chizda says, it depends on those shitas. The shita that allows carrying beneath the koira, because the outer portion is being activated, so it's too far from the mavi. It doesn't function for the mavi. The shita that does not allow carrying beneath the koira, because it's the inner surface of the koira which is being activated, that's close enough to the mavi, and therefore allows carrying the mavi. Rav says, according to all shitas, it's asur, because it's not above the entry point. All agree that alongside the lechi, one may not carry. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. The Gemara began by telling us that when something belongs to a yachid, there's a concern about changing, about developments. For instance, the ruchava that belongs to a yachid, he might build it up. The ashpa, he might remove the ashpa. The Gemara tells us as well that a yam might kick up pebbles and earth and negate, level off that wall, remove that mechitza. We learned that a chatzar is muta betiltel even when it's used as a thoroughfare. The rabbim are entering one side, exiting the other, even if those entry points are opposite each other. And one can carry in this chatzar, even with rabbanon. When we have a mummy which is uneven, one side is extending past the other. When it's less than dalad amis, according to Rav Kahana, you place the koira balachsein, opposite the long one. According to Rava, it's always opposite the short one. If the extension is dalad amis, all agree, you cannot use that extension. The Gemara tells us, if the total length of that koira placed diagonally is more than 10 amis, you cannot use that entry point because it's considered a peritza. We discussed using the space beneath the koira alongside the lechayayim and a case of a kaira, which is placed on supports alongside the mummy.